Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy his cities, he will in the future destroy his cities. Or it means that what I've given Esav relative to what I've given you is considered nothing, it's desolate. His inheritance relative to your inheritance is like a wasteland, a desert where tanin, they roam freely, and just an empty wasteland relative to what I've given you. Okay, so we've gone through already the Mitzudos, Rashi, the Radak, and the Malbim. Now we're going to see the Mamori Chazal. So back on page 862, Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis, let me make a bracha. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvaroi.
Amen.
Pasuk Beis, Ohavti Yisrael Hashem. Thank you, Mr. Korn, for the cup of coffee. Ohavti Yisrael Hashem. Okay, 862 on the bottom, Pasuk Beis. B'sinas Hashem Oysanim. Efshar Shamokar Masoni Yis Yisrael. This Pasuk here is referring to the Meraglim. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's rendition. He is recalling what happened at the time of the Meraglim, and he says that Hashem, he hated us, that Klal Yisrael complained to Hashem that you took us out of the desert to die out of Mitzrayim, you took us out of Mitzrayim to die here in the desert, and the reason why Hashem did this is because Hashem hates us. B'sinas Hashem Oysanu. So here the Gemara says, Efshar Shamokim Soni Es Yisrael. Can you possibly say such a thing that Hashem hates Klal Yisrael? It's impossible. There's no such thing as saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu hates Klal Yisrael. Can there be such a thing? V'loy kvar nema, but it says in the now pasuk over here, Ohavti Yisrael Hashem, Elohim Shesoinim Es Hamokim. The truth is, when a person says that they hate someone, it's really just the opposite. It's just the opposite. The Klal Yisrael, they're the ones who hate Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Moshul Hedyot Oimer Madiv Libach Al Richamach Umadiv Libei Aloch. This is an expression was in your heart. You say about someone else, and what's in his heart, he says about you. In other words,
projection.
You project upon other people exactly. You project on other people what you really feel. When a person says to someone that you hate us, you hate me, what you really mean to say is, I hate you. That's just a way. Is a person fooling himself? Does the person really mean like that? Not mistaver. It's more of a psychological. You have to go and go to a psychologist and have him explain to us how the mind works. But when a person does, all the time when a person has a dislike, has a hatred for someone else, you always, it's not me. I'm not the person. I'm not the problem. I'm not the problem. I'm the good guy. The other person is the problem.
Calls you a racist.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you're saying exactly. You hear these people who exactly, I'm going to hit the nail on the head. You listen to these media clips that are floating all over the country, and these people they start saying that they're victims of racism, and you listen to how what they say about everyone else. It's just amazing. Who's the racist here? They're the racists. It's just mind-boggling how blind they are. The people who claim that they're victims of racism, they are the biggest racists there are. They give a whole new definition to being a racist. And that's what Chazal said this long, long ago. It's a matter of foolishness. A person is not willing to confront, to look in the mirror, to see the truth. And this is brought out in this Maamar Chazal. Because this pasuk here, Malachi, it says, Hashem makes it clear as day. Ohavti eschem omar Hashem. I love you. Let's make that clear. So when it says in Chumash Devarim that Klal Yisrael says to Hashem, Hashem, you hate us, that's a lie. That's an outright lie, because Hashem's words are emes. Hashem says, I love you. So why then did Klal Yisrael lie and say, you hate us? What they really meant to say was, we hate you. Okay, that's human psychology. That's what it's saying over here. And this pasuk is part of that piece, that puzzle. It's a piece in the puzzle to bring out the MS of this principle.
Why don't people say exactly what we think. If I hate him, why?
Because we don't want to do that. That's an Aveiro. That's an Aveiro. You don't. You then you're a bad guy. You're a bad guy. That's not fair. At ein excellent. Ein adam meis misatzma rasha. For Klal Yisrael to say openly, Hashem, we don't like you. That there cannot be a greater avera than that. To say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, we do not like you. That's awful. That's a horrific thing to do. So they don't want to do that, but that's the truth. So how do they express it? They fool themselves into projecting what's the ugliness that's in their hearts upon someone else. Hashem, you hate us. Okay, this is a psychological, the way the mind works. A person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a healthy person with certain given, certain defaults, certain a person, when Hashem made man, a person does not want to be guilty. A person wants to be a tzaddik. That's a natural disposition of a human being. His own way, his own eyes. The natural disposition of a person is I am a good person. That's the way Hashem created man. I am good. And when a person discovers that he's not really good, he's really cruel and he has real serious issues, being that it's natural, person's neshama naturally is always right. And there's a problem, so the way you can get rid of the problem one of two ways. You can acknowledge there's a problem and work with it and work on it and try to conquer that problem, or you can be lazy. You can be lazy and say I don't want to be in denial. Okay, you mean denial, and then when the issue comes up, sometimes you can't be in denial. You have to. It's not me. It's you. You just shift the blame. I am not the one who has the issue. You are the one that has the issue. That is human nature. And that comes out of, number one, a natural desire to be good, which in and of itself is a very powerful thing, that a person naturally wants to be a tzaddik. And now we have a problem. A person's lazy. So instead of acknowledging the problem and dealing with the problem, what does a person do? He shifts the problem, pass the ball to someone else. So who am I going to pass the ball to? To you. You, Hashem, you hate us. That's a lie. Hashem doesn't hate you. Hashem loves you. Here in Seif Malachi, it's explicit. Ahavti Eschem, Amar Hashem. What then is the person doing? We're lazy. In Seif Dvarim, we're lazy. We're shifting the problem. Hashem, you hate us. We're just in a state of denial. Because we don't want to deal with the issue. This is human nature. Now it's not. This is not. There are exceptions. There are definitely people out there in the world who want to be wicked. They thrive on. That's a sickness.
But relatively few.
It's natural for a person to want to be innocent. There are people though who are drama.
Even Russia wants to be okay with
himself. 90% of the time. There are definitely people that are
psychopathic.
Right. Those are who have a sickness in the mind. Those people are really, really sick people. But the average person is not sick. He wants to be righteous. That's how Hashem, it's amazing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with such a natural disposition to be correct, to be good in his own eyes. That's an amazing concept. Pasuk says, "Ki yetzer leiv ha'adam ra minu uraf."
It's true in nature also. It's something called homeostasis, which tends towards balance.
Okay. But how do you reconcile this idea with what it says in the pasuk, "Ki yetzer leiv ha'adam ra minu uraf"?
That there's an impulse.
Of denial. The ra means that you want to shift. You're saying the ra is not that the person wants to be righteous in his own eyes, and that's natural. But the ra is this impulse to push away the blame.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to analyze what this really means. I don't know.
If only they had said yes, but what have you done for me lately?
What have you what?
Yes.
Yes, you love me, but what have you done for me lately? Okay, that's always the complaint. What have you done? But let's go further in this. So this is a very beautiful chazal. Again, this chazal is really critical where it's coming to contrast these two psukim in Malachi. Hashem says, I love you. And the Jewish people say, Hashem, you hate us. Contradiction. There's a blatant contradiction between what it says in Malachi and what it says in Chumash Devarim. And the Chazal are telling us the emes is what it says in Sefer Malachi. Hashem loves us. And what it says in Sefer Devarim is a lie. You know, how did the lie come about? It's that Klal Yisrael are in denial of their problem. And they shift the problem to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when truthfully what a person is saying to someone else, they really think about. It's what they're saying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really what's true for themselves. Then there's another type of lie. Now you have this all the time where a person goes over and gives you a compliment. A person that you know who doesn't really like you and he gives you a compliment. Usually the compliment is just the opposite. Guy goes over to Agud and he says, you know, you're a very handsome person. What do you mean to say? You're ugly as sin. Right? You're ugly, because who's asking you? Who's asking you to give me this compliment? Who's asking this fellow? He's smart. Okay? He's smart. Why are you saying to him, oh, you're very smart? Or why are you saying about somebody who's very smart? So usually what really bothers the person is this guy is a fool. And it's on your conscience, but you don't want to be the bad guy and say he's a fool. So you suppress it by saying, oh, he's very, very smart. Very often when you say something about someone else, when you give a compliment, you really mean just the opposite. Because otherwise, why would you be giving this compliment? This is taken out of context. It's out of context. Who's asking you for you these compliments? It must be you really mean the opposite. So that's where you're giving a person a compliment. But when you're giving a person an insult, really you're describing yourself. You're describing your own deficiencies. Okay, let's go for the next Maamar Chazal. Next Chazal, it says, Chavivim Gagedim Shebechol Mokim HaKosu Mechano Islam Ki Yisrael. Gerim are choshuv. They're precious. Because to Hashem. To Hashem they're precious. Who else? To us as well.
Let's see the passage.
Chavivim, Gedim, Hagedim, and again, we're going to go to page 862 on Pasuk Beis on the bottom. Chavivim, Hagedim, Shebechol Mokim, Akosim, Mechano, Yisom, Ki Yisrael. Shememar, it says in the Pasuk, V'yato Yisrael Avdi, Yaakov, Asher Bechartichah, Zera, Avram, Ohavi. You are the seed of Avraham, my beloved. We know that a ger, his name is Avraham. A ger, typically, Ben Avraham. He takes a name, and he calls himself the son of Ben Avraham. Okay, you have all these, a lot of them have exotic names. But who are they? The Ben? The Ben Avraham. Here the Pasuk says, the Zera Avraham, Yavi, Nemer Ahava B'Yisrael, V'Shnemer Ahavti Yisrael Amar Hashem. It says, love by Klal Yisrael. V'Nemer Ahava B'Gerim, V'Shnemer V'Oyev Ger, Hashem loves a Ger, Lo says Lo, Lechem V'Simla. So we have here a love by Hashem, by Klal Yisrael. This pasuk here is Ahavti Yisrael Mar Hashem. We have love by the Gerim, where it says Vayiv Ger. Now go back to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk says, it says Ma'viato Yisrael Avdi Yaakov, Asher Bach, my servant. Yato, you Yisrael, you are my servant. Asher Bechartiicha, I have selected you. Zera Avraham Ohavi. Avraham was the first ger. I think that's what it means over here.
Yeah, because otherwise, what's it telling
us? Avraham was the first ger. He was the first one to convert. The entire world were pagans, and Avraham converted. He recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And how does Hashem describe Avraham? My beloved. Ohavi, my beloved. And by extension, every time we refer to a ger, every single ger connects himself to Avraham Avinu, and that's why they are also called beloved. That's why it says, V'ohev ger.
And are frequently named Avraham.
And are named, they're called Ben Avraham. Well, even their name is Ben Avraham. So a ger, Avraham was the first ger, and he's called beloved. Ger are called beloved. And those that are descendants of Avraham, which we don't call Gerim, even though we're all Gerim to a degree, even but they are called Yisrael, and they're also called beloved. So we should recognize that in the eyes of Hashem, there is no difference between a Ger, someone who is FFB, FFB stands for from birth, and a Ger. A Ger the Torah describes both of them with the term of love. And Chazal say that Gerim are like a sapachas for the Jewish people. What is a sapachas? A scab. So what does that mean? So some will tell you, there are different interpretations. Some say that it refers to a certain, we have to first understand that the word sapachas, is that a positive term or is that a negative term? If we take the word sapachas to be a negative term, it's ugly, it's something which is problematic, it doesn't refer to, it refers to a class of gerim that are not sincere. It does not refer to all gerim, chas v'shalom. It refers to gerim that convert for ulterior motives. They want benefits. They want to be on, whatever they want, but they're not really sincere. So what happens? They do not observe the mitzvahs in the way that they are required to do, and other people learn from them. They see if this fellow doesn't need to daven shachris, so why should I daven shachris? If this one doesn't need to do the mitzvahs, so why should I do? So they have an influence upon other Jews, and they cause other people to fall, to lower their standards. Yeah?
The way the Maharal explains it is, let's say you have something on your arm. Now your arm was perfectly fine, and this thing is added on top of it, and it's subtraction by addition, in other words. And it's, You're better off without it.
Scab is something that we would have been better off. That only refers to game that are not sincere, that are problematic. However, many of the commentators learn this in a very positive form. And what it means is, and this is very true, many times you find the game are so sincere, they're so good, they make everyone look bad. They come to shul, they daven with kavana, they do all the mitzvahs with such zrizus and perfection, and everyone else, in contrast, is embarrassed. They are a sapachas for us. When we look at them, so we feel bad. There's a kitroik. If this person who's a newcomer can be so sincere, so devoted, and so good, how come you know a lot better? You had a good education, you have a network of support. How come you cannot be good? They say about Ivanka Trump, that when she comes to shul, she's the only one who davens. Everyone else is just staring at her and looking at her, and she's the only one that's davening from beginning to end. Okay, so sometimes a ger can be a sapachas, a source of discomfort and a problem for Klal Yisrael, because the Gerim typically are so sincere and kind and good in their observance of Torah U'mitzvah. So it really goes both ways, but the common denominator is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Gerim, I love them just like I love you. There is no difference at all. Next Maamar Chazal. Next Chazal, yeah.
See the citation. That's an unusual citation.
The citation is, are you right, Mukhal? I didn't realize this. Look what he says. Look at the citation over here. Gerim Dalid Gimel. This is Masech from Masech Gitana. I didn't know that. Is there a stack of Masech Gerim? Okay, amazing. I have no idea what this is. It says Gerim Per Dalid Halacha Beis. I'm assuming there's a small Masech from Masech Gitanais. That's in the back of the Gemara, usually at the end of the Seder Nezokin. There's a collection of small Masechtos. Masechta Simachos, there's Masechta
Kala,
Masechta Kala, and what else?
Kala?
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 I don't know, I really don't know. Okay, so there's a collection of small Masechtos. Who wrote those Masechtos? So some say the Rabbanan Savaroi. The Rabbanan Savaroi, who was the Tkufa right before the Gaonim, right before the Golden, they wrote they composed these Masechtos to be mashlim what was they felt was missing from the Talmud Bavli. Okay, you have the Talmud Bavli, you have the Tanoim and the Amoraim. Amoraim wrote on Bavli, and after the Amoraim, there was the Rabbanon Savaroi. The Rabbanon Savaroi, they further edited the Talmud Bavli.
There's no Masechta.
There are only 60 Masechtas. Only 60 Masechtas, or maybe 63 Masechtas.
It has 11
halachas. 11 halachas on Masechta? You found it? The Masechta game, where is it? Masechta sent on the class? I'm just Googling it.
What is this, Gimel
Bay? This Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel Halacha Beis. That Perek Gimel Perek Dalet. Masechta Gerim. It says Dalet Beis. That normally means it's Perek Dalet Mishnah Halacha Beis. Okay, so you're right. We'll have to pay attention. It's a fascinating thing to remember that. Okay, next man Chazal. Chamisha Elu Nikru Ahuvim. There are five things that are called beloved. Yaakov Nikru Ohov. Shemar Vohaves Yaakov. Yisrael Nikru Ahuvim. Shemar Ahavti Eschem Omar Hashem. Okay, does not tell us all the five things over here, but these two things over here now, Pasuk, is part of the Yaakov is called Ohof. Yaakov and Yisrael, they're beloved. Okay, that concludes Mamar Chazal. The next page. Okay, that's it. Now let's take a look over here. We have some additional things over here. We have here the Chumash Anoch. First, let's see the Chumash Anoch on page 863. Haloi, remember, he sometimes says Kabbalistic things. Haloi, Och Esav L'Yakov U'Nu'm Hashem V'Yahav Es Yaakov L'Chor U'Nu'm Hashem Shaloi B'Mukoy Moi. Ta'hav L'Memar V'Yahav Es Yaakov U'Nu'm Hashem. He's asking the question that the word U'Nu'm Hashem is out of place. Go back to Pasuk Beis. Ahavti Yeschel Amar Hashem. I love you. V'Amartem, and you say, B'Ameh Ahavtanu. Haloi, Och Esav Hashem. If you were writing this pasuk and you were given the words and you were told to put the words in the sequence, where would you, would the average person put the word Nu'm Hashem? You would put it after the words Ahavti Eschem, Ahavti Eschem, Amar Hashem. Period. V'amartim b'me'avtanu. So then you would say. Haloi och, Esav liYaakov, v'ohaves Yaakov Nu'um Hashem. The words Nu'um Hashem should come. The words Nu'um Hashem should come at the very end of the pasuk. Hashem is saying that I love Yaakov, and Esav is our brother, and yet even though Esav is our brother, I love Yaakov. Why are the two words Nu'um Hashem in the middle of the pasuk? Hashem did not yet finish speaking. You would put Nu'um Hashem after Hashem concludes his statement. This is the question of the Chumash Anoch. One more time. L'chayre, the words Nu'um Hashem shlo b'mukam ma'ad ha'av lo l'meimah v'ayivas Yaakov Nu'um Hashem v'su d'a'ikara nir yoyser. I'm not sure what that means. The ikor is near Yosef. I don't know what those words mean here in this context. Let's go further. Maybe we'll understand. We'll go further. The Efshel, the Ramaz, Shakadosh Baruch Hu, Kiro Yaakov, Kemosh Amuzal, Atun, Kireisun, Lachazi, Rach, Toin, Shein. Shakadosh Baruch Hu is calling.
What is the Noam Hashem Noah?
That's the question. The question over here is the words.
Right.
No, it's not so
the sentence is not over. Hashem is making a statement. Hashem is saying, "Ohavti Yisrael Mar Hashem." Period. V'amartem. The Jewish people say back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Bame Ahavtan." Really? You really love us? Prove it. Explain to us. Show us in what merit or what is it about us that you love us? So Hashem responds. Now, what is Hashem's response? What is the quotation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it would seem according to the similar understanding that they are Haloi Och Esav LiYaakov V'Ohav Es Yaakov V'Es Esav Sonesi V'Osin Es Chodov Shemama V'Es Nachal Asol L'San Es Midbar Nu'um Hashem. I mean, where do you want to stop Hashem's statement? What? Well, it's part of Hashem's first, but it's part of Hashem's statement. Hashem's statement doesn't seem to end after the words Haloi Och Esav Liyakov. That's not the end of Hashem's statement. You've the very least, the sentence concludes with the words of Ohaves Yaakov. So it should say Hashem's response is Haloi Och Esav Liyakov. Esav is your brother, but yet V'ohav Es Yaakov Nu'um Hashem.
Doesn't even end there, the next one.
Right. So if you want to go further, so that's what I was trying to say. So if you want to go further, so keep on going. Yeah. So go further. V'es Esav Sonesi, V'asim Es Hadov Shemomov, V'es Nachlosel L'san Es Midbar, Nu'um Hashem. Nu'um Hashem. However you want to slice it, the word Nu'um Hashem does not appear to be in the right location.
You know,
either.
Okay,
you have it all over the place.
No, you haven't pressed it down again. It says, yeah. You're asking,
okay, in Echanam, you have it all over the place. You have Nu'um Hashem, but the question is, in these psukim over here, Nu'um Hashem does not appear to be incorrect. That is the question of the Chaim HaSanach. So one more time, L'chayra, Nu'um Hashem, Sheloi B'mikoymoi, the words Nu'um Hashem are not in the right location. The very least. It should say Nu'um Hashem at the end of the pasuk. You want to go to look at this pasuk alone, it's written in the pasuk. V'su, de'a'ikara nir yoyser. Also, I think what he means over here is that if you do want to slice the pasuk, let's say for whatever reason you want to go put it somewhere, you wouldn't want to go say Nu'um Hashem regarding that Esav is Yaakov's brother. The ikor, the main thrust of this pasuk are the words V'ohaves Yaakov. So you want to go attach Hashem's name, Nu'um Hashem, to a part of the pasuk, you're going to attach it to the part of the pasuk that is the ikor. What is the ikor? The ikor is I love Yaakov. It's the ikor part of the pasuk is not that Esav is the brother of Yaakov. That's a very important point. That's a very nice thing to say, that Esav is Yaakov's brother, but that's not the ikor. That's not the main part of the pasuk. The main part of the pasuk is V'ohav Es Yaakov. So why are the words Nu'um Hashem in following Esav as Yaakov's brother? Now the Efshar, I don't know what this means. Let's try to figure this out together. The Ramas, the pasuk is coming to hint She'akadosh Baruch Hu Kiro'o Yaakov, Hashem called Yaakov. Atun kreisun, you are called lichazi raschein shame. I don't know what that means. Let's read a little more. The osi shapir ki Esav hu chazir. Esav is a pig.
That's what the word means.
It means a pig. Okay, lichazi raschein. You are called a pig. Who's the Esav? Let's.
That strange word.
Lichazi raschein means a pig. The Aramaic form of a chazir. A chazir mayar. And who is the chazir mayar? Esav. It says the pasuk in Esav is a chazir mayar.
This pasuk is always cited.
As a reference to yichar semen chazir mayar.
Yeah.
What does the word yichar semen mean?
To destroy.
Esav is called a chazir. In this pasuk, and why? What's the famous chazal? Because Esav, just like a chazir, it puts out its paws. It shows that it has split hooves. In order to be a kosher animal, you have to have two simonim. You have to have split hooves, and you have to regurgitate your food. After you swallow the food, you bring it back up to your molars, and you chew the food again. Esav is not ma'alas geira. It does not return the food from its first stomach to the lower portion of its mouth to chew the food again. That means that it's not kosher. But that simon is hidden. It's hidden. The other simon of the split hooves, its paws are completely split. That's revealed. That's golui. Esav says, look, I'm kosher. I'm kosher. Look at my paws. Look, I have split hooves. Yeah, very nice. On the outside, you're kosher. But on the inside, you're treif. On the inside, you're lacking. So a chazir is the metaphor, is the model of a phony. That's the metaphor. That's why Esav is always compared to the chazir. because the Chazir is the dogma of a phony. Someone. What is it called? What?
Kosher
Chazir. Okay. He makes believe that he's kosher. Toichoy.
You make believe,
but it's not real.
Saying, they only let
true blue people into the basement. Okay, here it says over here in the English, to chew. Yichar semenu means to like to chew. Yichar semenu chazir meyar. He will. It means something like to chew. The chazir will move his mouth around from the forest. He will search for food. Okay, so he's saying, well, let's go further. We have Roski.
We added 2 weeks ago in the parsha that the Yidden reminded Esau, that the Marachich Yisro,
they're brothers. Huh? Have some brotherly love and let us pass by. Exactly. Okay, let's go further. Vohar remes ayin tuluya shuhu esav. The ayin tuluya. Good morning. Watch your step over. Vohar remes. What is the remes? Vohar remes ayin tuluya shuhu esav shuhu esav. V'nishar. I guess in this passage can tell them the ayin. We don't really have this mesorah. The mesorah where there are a lot of letters. There are a lot of letters that are hanging letters. Okay, they're different size letters, hanging letters, and somewhere over here we have an ayin that is not your standard ayin. V'nishar resh mem yud. Now which word is he referring to over here? K'mo yar miyar. K'mo yisham uzal. V'zeremes liyakov num Hashem, dikibiyochel Hashem kiro liyakov. Hashem is calling to Yaakov. Now, I really don't know what he's trying to say. Haloi och Esav, liyakov. Esav is a brother liyakov. Nu'um Hashem. Hashem is calling. Liyakov. Hashem is naming. Okay, I don't know what this means. I really don't know what this means. Let's just go further. I think it means in the word Yichar Semena Chazir Miyoar. In the word Miyoar, the Mesorah is that the Ayin is Teluya. It's not in line. And that would then mean that the only thing you have left is you have the Reish, the Mem, and the Yud. Not in order. It's a different word. The word Miyoar means the forest. But if you take out the Ayin, make with the Ayin, you delete the Ayin. Then you're left with 3 letters. Mem, Yud, Reish. Rearrange.
Mir,
the space station, right? The space station or the yeshiva? It's all the same, right? We're on page 863 in the Chaimah Sanach. Okay, I don't know what this means. The question is a great question. Let's just leave the question for a moment. Sometimes it's worth the question is worth it. Let's go to the further. Inami, another answer. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Amar L'Rivka. 863 Pasuk Beis. Yes, the last 4 lines in the Chaimah Sanach.
Okay.
Inani, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Amar L'Rivka. Okay, L'Rivka, Masha Esav Choshe Belibo Yikrivu Yimei Evel K'Moshe Amuzal V'Zer Remes Halo Och Esav Liyakov Num Hashem Shamarti L'Rivka Shehoya Rotze Lohorgoy V'Nimlat. Hashem said, the focus is again. What's the question? The question is why do the words Nu'um Hashem appear in the middle of the pasuk? So he seems to be answering here is that Hashem is, he wants to emphasize a certain point. And the emphasis is, he wants to emphasize that Hashem did a kindness with us, that Hashem informed us that Esav is coming to kill us. Watch out. Protect yourself. Think about the first Crusades. The first crusade, 1096. What was the problem? What happened? How many people died in the first crusade? No one really knows for sure. Somewhere between 10 and they say between 10 and 30,000 people were murdered. No one really knows for sure, but that's an estimate. And you have to understand that the population of the Jewish people was very small in those days. It wasn't such a big population. That took wiped out between a third and a half of the Jews living in Germany. Okay, half of the Jewish population living in Germany, which was a major center of Yiddishkeit, was wiped out by the Crusaders. How did this happen? The answer is, they were vulnerable. They didn't imagine in their wildest dreams that man, who can be so evil, can just come in to their cities and massacre thousands of people with no rachmanis whatsoever. We know there were always pogroms. Let's not kid ourselves. We know historically there were pogroms from the time after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Bayis Sheni. How many people were killed in the Churban Beis Hamikdash? So I think the numbers are 4 million. I forgot the numbers. One of them, the numbers are 1.1 million, and the other was 4 million. I think the Bayis Sheni was 4 million Jews. Is that correct? I think the Churban Beis Hamikdash.
The one I mentioned by Rishon was 1.1,
like you said. Bayis Rishon, they estimate 1.1 million Jews were killed, were murdered, and the Bayis Sheni, they estimate 4 million Jews. I think it's 4 million Jews. Since the time of the Bayis Sheni, we're going now 1,000 years later, since the year 1096, from that time, it never happened. There was a massacre, a wholesale massacre, where masses of people were just slaughtered. Klal Yisrael never imagined. I don't think they believe they should be knocking on the door.
I know, because they should.
I don't think you have to answer the people. There's a door going downstairs. It's not. Klal Yisrael was murdered. They were murdered. So they never expected for a moment that such a thing could possibly happen. They were not, and thus they were not prepared. And they were not prepared for such a thing. Here, the same thing would have happened to Yaakov Avinu in the time after Yaakov received the bracha from Yitzchak. Yaakov was vulnerable. Esav could any moment could have got up and murdered Yaakov. How did Yaakov know to save himself, to flee? So Hashem revealed with Ruach HaKodesh to Rivka, tell your son Yaakov to get out of here. He's vulnerable. At any moment, Esav will get up and just murder him, just like that. That's what the Pasuk here is saying. Yitzchak gave the brachos to Yaakov. Esav was jealous, was angry. Yaakov did not suspect, nor did Rivka suspect, nor did anyone suspect, that this jealousy, his anger, his frustration would go to such a point where he would just one day get up and just cold blood murder his brother. No one would imagine that Esav would be capable of doing such a thing. No, he didn't get the brachas. So he didn't get the brachas. He sold the brachas. He has to come to terms with recognizing that he gave up the brachas. He sold the brachas to Yaakov by the Mezid HaDoshim. He'll come to terms with the reality. He's going to go get up and just out of nowhere take a knife and murder his own brother Yaakov. No one would imagine such a thing would be possible. And what happened? Hashem did an incredible chesed with Yaakov Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Rivka and told Rivka, tell your son Yaakov to get out of here. He's vulnerable. At any moment, Esav will get up and murder him. That's what it says in the pasuk. Rashi says that Rivka said to Yaakov, if I don't remember the pasuk in my heart, my Yaakov over here.
She says,
and what about when Rashi says that when Rivka called Yaakov and says, I heard that your brother Esav wants to murder you.
Who you may able to be. He said, you know.
She said the whole thing. Right. Rashi on the spot there says, how did Rivka, from whom did Rivka hear this from? Was she the NSA? Who told her? Rashi says she heard Beruach HaKodesh. Shamati, she heard Beruach HaKodesh. She heard this information, that Esav is going to murder Yaakov. And she relayed this.
Vayomer
Esav Belibo. And if he said Beliboy, how did Rivka know? Rashi on the spot here says she heard the Ruach HaKodesh. That is what this pasuk here is telling us. This is what the Mechida, is incredible what he's saying over here. He's connecting this pasuk here in Malachi, Perik Aleph, pasuk Beis, Haloi Och Esav Liyakov Nu'um Hashem. This means Esav, your brother, you have to add some words to the pasuk. It's not, he's saying a tremendous Chiddush. Nu'um Hashem. Hashem spoke to who? Who's Nu'um Hashem? To Rivka.
Find it as, you know, very powerful that they're using the word Noam, even though the Targum I see says Omar, but a lot of times you would see Omar in the Lashon of the Navi, but here it says Noam, and that means locked down, you know, this is
powerful statement.
A hard and fair statement.
And so the Chidah is saying the Noam Hashem means Hashem spoke to who? To Rivka. It doesn't say that in the Pasuk. But he's understanding, he's saying that's what it refers to. And
it's
what?
Rashi says,
Ruach HaKodesh. Shamati, she said, Shamati, I heard. Who did she have Ruach HaKodesh? And he's saying, this is where it says it. Hashem spoke to Rivka. And what did Hashem say to Rivka? That Esav is the brother of Yaakov. In those words, even though Iker Chosa Min HaSefer, the Chidah is saying, in those words, allude to the fact that Esav wants to murder Yaakov, and you better tell Yaakov to get out of here. If Hashem would not have come to Rivka and revealed this information, Yaakov would have remained at home together with Esav, and one day he would not wake up. And that would be the end. So Hashem did with us an incredible kindness to warn us, to protect us, and don't allow yourself to be a victim. If only someone would have come to the Jews living in Germany, in Germany during the First Crusade, and told them, you know, the Crusaders, they're coming and they're going to kill everyone. Even though, because the Crusaders have nothing to do with Klal Yisrael, this was a battle between the Muslims and the Jews. This has nothing to do with Klal Yisrael, the Christians and the Muslims. What does this have to do with Klal Yisrael? Nothing. Who would imagine that when they would come, they would pass through, they took a detour to go to Germany and to go and to loot their money and to kill them. Who would imagine? No, they were vulnerable. If someone would have informed Klal Yisrael, you're in great danger, run away, then there would have been a different world. The Holocaust. If we would have known what's going to come, who would stick around? No one would stuck around. There's somebody by hook or by crook. Everyone would flee. They would go somewhere before the war broke out. Where would everyone go? Who knows where they would go? But they're not going to stick around and wait for Hitler to come. So over here, he's telling us over here an incredible thing. Haloi och Esav Liakov. These words, and in these words, that Esav is your brother, and Esav he makes believe he's your brother.
It's the lashon of the chumash. It's in quotes.
Esav achicha. Excellent. Yeah, now you reveal the mystery.
I was just trying to.
It's a code word.
Esav achicha.
So here we're just starting off the pasuk. Esav achicha, which alludes to misnachem olecha lehargecha. This. Nu'um Hashem liYaakov. Hashem revealed this information regarding Yaakov to who? To Rivka. That is a chesed that we did not deserve, and only because of that chesed we're still here today. This had the chidah, and that's why it says Nu'um Hashem in the middle of the pasuk. It's not just telling, okay, I want to make a statement. I love Klal Yisrael and I hate Esav. What's Nu'um Hashem doing here in the little pasuk? It's not a general statement. Hashem over here is coming and telling you, let's review the kindness. Hashem starts off by telling you, I love you. So what does Klal Yisrael say? Really, Hashem, you love us? Prove it. Where in history could you show us that you really love us? So Hashem, I'll prove it to you. Because when you were vulnerable, after Yitzchak gave the brachos to Yaakov, you didn't realize how vulnerable you were. Esav was jealous. Esav was angry. Esav was willing to murder Yaakov right then and there. And if Yaakov would have stuck around another couple of days, he would have been dead. And only because I love you, I loved Yaakov, I revealed the secret to his mother, Rivka, to tell him to run away. The proof is, Haloi och Esav liYaakov, those words which allude to a whole section, Parshas Toldos, Nu'um Hashem. Hashem spoke. He revealed. He revealed this information to Rivka to protect Yaakov. Doesn't that show that I love you? Doesn't it show that I went out of my way to reveal this information? Okay, that's
that the only way to see that Hashem loves us? He took us out of Mitzrayim, he watched over us through the money, gave us.
That was much later. That's a later love. There are infinite acts of love. So this is a very early, we're going to the incipient stage. We're going all the way back to the very, very beginning, the very first moment when Yaakov was selected. Yaakov was selected, Esav was rejected. We're going back to our roots, right here and then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed his love for Yaakov by protecting him from Esav. This is what the Chidah says. This is an incredible Chiddush. This is a gem in three lines of the Chidah to answer this question, to open up a whole new insight into the end of Parashas Toldos. Where do you get such things like this if not from the Chidah? Inami. One more time, these words of Inami. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar L'Rivka. When it says here, Nu'um Hashem, Hashem spoke, who did he speak to? He spoke to Rivka. What did he tell Rivka? He told Rivka, Ma she'esav choyshev belibo, what Esav is planning to do, Yikruvu yimei evil avi, and I will get up and I will murder Yaakov. And by having this information at hand, Rivka was able to relay it to Yaakov and tell him to flee. And that's how Yaakov survived. And when he survived, that's why we're here today. This is a display of love. K'mayish amuzal, v'zeremez, that's hinted to in the pasuk, ha'loi och esav liyakov no mashem, shamarti l'rivka, shahi roitze l'horgo, v'nimlani escaped. Wow. Okay, this really is a real five-star gem. A gem over here to take a shot in the pasuk and to answer this question in a magnificent way. Inami, now he has another interpretation, efsher, d'ramaz, the Be'esh Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Rivka Al, I'm turning the page over to another page, 865 Al Yidei Shein. Let's go back earlier. Let's go back to when Rivka was pregnant. Go back, way back. How old was Yaakov and Yaakov and Esav when they got the brachas?
63
years old when they got the brachas. So we're going back 63 years plus when she was pregnant with them. And she went to Shem, and Shem said to her, she had tsar heroyim. So in Kain Lama Ze Anoichi, Rashi says when she would pass the base medrash, one of the children, Mefarcheses Lotzes, when she passed the base Avodah Zarah, Mefarcheses Lotzes, she could not deal with this. She cannot deal with a child that is a phony, that both wants to go to the Beis Medrash, and what was the tsar? Pashav Shah means she had enormous physical tsar heiroyon, the curse of Chava, the curse of Habe, the Etzev Tel Dibonim. I forgot all the psukim there, but there Rashi says there's a special tsar in Leida, and there's a tsar in heiroyon. Part of the process of pregnancy also brings with it tsar. And Rivka said, Pashav Shadish, she was going through an enormous, unusual pain, and she couldn't deal with it. But the other pshat is, it wasn't a physical pain. It was a spiritual torment. How could it be that I have a child that's a phony? How could it be that I have a child that's a faker? On the one hand, he wants to go to the Beis Medrash. He's the best bachur in Lakewood. Mitzat Shani, baby. Oh, then she understood that she has twins.
That's when she had that thought.
Right, but before she knew that she had twins, she thought she has one child, and the one that is the best bachur in Lakewood. Mitzat Shani, when it's Ben Azmanim, he's doing the worst averos. How could I be the mother of such a phony? The mental anguish, it wasn't a physical anguish, it was a mental anguish. How can I have such a child who is Poseach al Shnei Asifin? So Shnei goy b'vinech, but then of course he told her, you have twins, and there are two nations, v'chul v'chul. Omar, oz Omar, v'rav yavoy tzoir. The older will serve the younger, v'dibur yisparach kima'aseh, and the dibur of Hashem is kima'aseh, is a deed. When Hashem speaks, it's not like mankind, when a person's word is not a word, he goes back on his word. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, it's enduring. U'mishum ha'chi tzadik v'roshu loikomar, Moshe Kosav, Moreno Rav, Rabbi Moshe Alshe Chazal, The Hocha Omar, the Rav Yavoit Soir. He's asking a question over here, why did it not call Ace of a Rasha? The Rasha Yavoit Tzadik. It doesn't say that. It says the older will serve the younger. So he speaks of the Dibur Kimasa. Let's read this one further. The Zel Omar. I don't know, and I'm not sure I understand what he's saying. Let's read more. Yeah, but doesn't anyway call one
with the word Russia.
So let's see. The Zel Omar Halei Och Ace of Yaakov Hashem Kishahoyu Babete.
Not to make yourself vulnerable.
Oh, that was what we said before. Right, now let's see over here what he's saying over here. They say something different idea of you. Zeh she'amar halei och esel liyakov v'mashem k'shohi b'betim she'amarti shnei gom b'neich v'yoz amarti v'rav yavod tzu'ir v'dibur k'maisa v'zeh she'amar v'ohaves Yaakov. I love Yaakov. So, v'zeh, let's read the whole thing. Let's finish. Okay, well, let's finish up the words and we'll come back and discuss. Let's just finish up the words. V'zeh chidish v'zeh chidish term she'yakov ya'asem mitzvois n'um Hashem. Even before Yaakov did any mitzvahs, Neum Hashem, the words of Hashem are presented. It's a v'dibuk ma'isa, v'yas esav sonesi, v'osim es harav shemama, k'may shokase, v'zoy ha'kodesh, v'dibuk ma'ase, v'os yishapir, kishon shal dvar umeduk, dok, Neum Hashem, v'dibuk ma'ase. He says that word like 5 times. I really do not know what he means, but according to this interpretation, let's just try to clarify, Hashem already showed the basic gist of what he's saying is Hashem already showed his love for Yaakov when Yaakov was still in the Beten. The fact that Rivka went to Shem and Shem said to Rivka, Shnei goyim bevidneich, u'shnei le'umim mime'aychi poredu. And he went on to say, V'rav ya'avoy tzo'ir, the tzo'ir is Yaakov, and the Rav is Esav. And from the very beginning, Hashem said that Yaakov is dominant. Yaakov is the Ikor. That is an expression of love. Now you'll say, oh, but like he asked a question, he did Bechira. You're right, these are all very good questions. But in hindsight, over here, according to the Chidah, this is part of why it says Neum Hashem. He's saying it to review again. The Yisoid over here is that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I love you. Klal Yisrael says back to Hashem, prove it. Prove you love us. Hashem says, when your mother was pregnant with you, you and Esav, your mother went to Shem. And what did Shem say? Shem says that the Ikor is Yaakov. V'rav Yavoit Soir. So, and when Hashem, and Shem is speaking Ruach HaKodesh, the word of Shem is Nevuah. Nevuah is the Dibur of Hashem. And the Dibur of Hashem has the Tekef of the ultimate power at the Maisa. So Hashem has made a statement, I love Yaakov more than I love Esav. What more do you want? Okay, so that's all what it means here in the Pasuk. When the Pasuk says, Bamei Haftanu, and the answer is, Haloi Och Esav LiYaakov Neum Hashem. When Hashem said through Shem that there are two brothers inside Rivka, and one is Esav, one is Yaakov, V'rav Yavoit Soir, all of that is alluded to where it says, Och Esav Yaakov. Esav is the older, Yaakov is the younger, but V'rav Yavoit Soir, when Hashem revealed this information that there are twins inside Rivka's Rechem, and the Rav Yavoit Soir, when Hashem made that statement, that is a statement of love. That's the answer to your question. Hashem, so it, in this interpretation, the Hashem is shame. According to the other interpretation, the second interpretation, the Hashem is Hashem himself spoke to Rivka.
Well, Hashem. Hashem
law. No, by Yom Hashem Lof, Rashi this says, through Shem. Okay, right, Neum Hashem.
I mean, that's what the law
says. But in the first interpretation, it was Hashem spoke directly to Shamati, Rashi, Ruach HaKodesh, that Esav wants to kill you. Esav wants to kill you, and therefore, get out of here. Pick yourself up and run away. And that was a protection from our vulnerability. Halavai, we would have had such information. You see, it's an incredible thing because all of the great tragedy of Klal Yisrael, had we known in advance, we would have done something to protect us, right? Had we known, we would have fled Europe, Poland, from I mean, you can't run away. Listen, all these are big hashkaf issues, obviously, right? All the big hashkaf
people. The reason the portion there say shame is very simple, because you don't want to start to think that God spoke directly to Rivka, because who was she that she was deserving of the bua at this time?
Why not?
By Eira Hashem El Avram, what does the Ramban say right on that pasuk over there? Chas v'shalom makes it sound like God spoke directly to Avram without Chalom Alayla, but it was. Only Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ramban on that pasuk says, no, only Moshe was Vaspaklar Yahameira. Everybody else was in a dream, Bachaloma, you know, in dreams or in a catatonic state, and so on and so forth. And that's why, like I said, my pshat was that Avraham by the Akedah, why the Malach spoke to Avraham.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was standing with a knife in his hand, and he couldn't possibly be asleep or going to bed, so God didn't talk directly to Avraham ever, and therefore he had to send the Malach to do the job.
Okay?
So,
say
that it was Shem who did have the food.
There are different levels.
Yeah, but that would be mashma from the whole Medrash that it said that Shem did it. Because that's what's bothering him.
That
God would speak directly to Rivka. It can't be.
Okay.
Not at that point in her life. Later on, maybe.
Now let's see over here, finish up quickly with the Maral, so we can go further tomorrow, new text tomorrow. Hafti Eschem, on page 862, there's a Maral. We'll try to just run through it real quickly. Ahavti Eschem, or Hashem, Ahava Yesh Min Hashem Yisparach El Yisrael, K'moshe Ma'akosev. Ahavti Eschem, Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. V'tiknu Rabo Seinu Zichrem Levrocha Oyev Amo Yisrael, the Bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Oyev Amo Yisrael. We make a Bracha. Ahava Rabo, Oyev Amo Yisrael. Af ki Ahava Hu Bein Af Hashavim V'doimim. So this is very Maral language. The Maral is asking a question, very basic, fundamental question. Love is only a term that can be used when you're dealing with equals. You can't use the term love between a superior and an inferior. A man and an animal.
Subordinate.
Let's talk about a man and animal. Do you love your dog? Do you love your smartphone? Do you love your phone? Do you really love your phone? Here's the smart. Do you really love the phone? You play with it the whole day. The whole day, you look at it the whole day. You press all the buttons the whole day. Look at all the videos and all this and all that and all the news, the gossip. Do you love it? Well, people, they say they love it. But the Maral was a real deep person. He says it's a borrowed term. It's impossible to love a smartphone. It's impossible to love a dog. It's impossible. It's not the term. The term is you are obsessed with it, you are addicted, you're devoted to it. But the word love is only a term you can use when you're dealing with an equal. A man and a woman are both human beings. A father and a child are human beings. The word love in the Maral's dictionary can only be used when you're dealing with equals. What is an equal? You'll tell me a Rebbe and a Talmud. The Rebbe is the Rebbe. Okay, but a Talmud is a human being. There is a basic similarity between the two parties for which you use the word love. One can be very, very great, and one can be lesser, not as great, but at least they share in common something very basic. They're both human beings. A human being and an animal, you can't use the word love. There's no such thing. Anywhere in Tanakh that a person loves an animal, it's just not the right term. It's an abuse. What?
By that standard, how does a human being?
Oh, that's the Maral's question. That's exactly the Maral. The Maral is asking a question. In his vocabulary, which I never thought about this concept, I thought, yeah, you love your smartphone. You love the chair. You love your house. You love your... You love a saw. So he's saying, no, in my vocabulary, there's no such... It's an abuse. You're an abuser. You're being abusive to the language to use the word ahava when you're dealing with something which is not in your league. So how then can it say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us? the difference between Hashem and man is greater than the difference in anything in this world put together on all with all the exponents possible. Hashem is infinite beyond infinite, and we are human beings. So how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu use the term Ahava? It's not the right term. This is the question of the Maral. Ahava Yesh Min Hashem. You know what we said over here in the city of years? One of the biggest experts in the Maral. The whole Rebbe, Shlomo Kalbach. Right? He's from the biggest experts in the Maral. Ahava Yesh Min Hashem Yisparach El Yisrael K'mosh Amar Kosev Ahavti Yeschem. V'tikne razal ad k'dekha chazal meir brach ohev amo Yisrael av ki ahavu hu bein hashovim. It's an abuse of the word. It's only between equals. V'domim mikol makom. Nevertheless, shayach ahavu bo yisparach ki Yisrael nikru bonim lamakom. It's being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that we are His children. Bonim atem la'ashem elokeichem. Not only are we bonim, we're the bechor. B'ni b'chori Yisrael. Who are the other banim? The malachim. I always say this one. This is very... the malach. How could we be a b'chor? We're called a b'chor. A b'chor means there's another child. Who's the other child? The malachim. The malachim are called in Tanakh the b'nei Elokim. The b'nei Elokim. The children of God. So they're children. And we are also banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. So Hashem has two children. Two sets of children, us and the Malachim. Who's the Bechor? Who gets Pishnayim? Who has all the rights? Bini Bechori Yisrael. So we're not just a child of Hashem, we're the Bechor of Hashem. By Hashem declaring us to be a Bain, that automatically opens up the benefits, all of the possibilities, even Ahava. Ahava would have been impossible if not for the fact that we are born in. Thus, the Umayis Ha'olam, who are not called Bonin, they're just a creation of Hashem. So, Hashem has no love. Not because Hashem doesn't have love for mankind. It's not possible. The term love cannot exist unless you're dealing with an equal, something that's in your league. The Goyim are not called Hashem's Bonin. They're called Hashem's creation. So, if you create the cup, if I go into a factory and I create this cup, do I love this cup? No, the word is, that's not the right word. I may have spent my whole life figuring out how to make such an object, but it doesn't mean that I love it. It's my creation, and I have a certain connection to it, but the word love, with all of its potency and emotion and everything that it captures, can only be said when you're dealing with something similar to you. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the declaration, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, and especially with the word B'nei B'chori Yisrael, He opened up a new world. A world which allows there to be an emotion called love for Klal Yisrael. Unbelievable, this is the Maral. Now you know what, the Maral is such a thing. It's his father. It's connected to you. The Yisrael, hey min Hashem Yisparach Nivriim, ki af al gav shekol ha-nivriim, hey min Hashem Yisparach. Even though mankind also has come forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mikol makom ein davar sheba b'menu be'etzem v'rishonah kmo Yisrael, we're different. Okay, this is all way over our heads, very esoteric what this all this means, but ki shor ha-umo eschem tefelim babriya, mankind is tofel. What? The Umos are Tafel. Klal Yisrael, they're the only ones that are called Banim. Just like the animal kingdom is all here to serve man, they don't have a purpose in their own right, which the Goyim don't like. So live in a secular world. This statement to them doesn't make any sense. A guy thinks an animal is just as important as a man, human being. A dog is more important.
Man's best friend.
Man's best friend. How come I never saw a dog wearing a mask? How come?
There are some.
They put a mask on the dogs?
I've seen a guy walking on my block, he had his...
dog had the mask on? Woo!
Maybe joke to him about it, you know.
He probably got very insulted.
No, he was laughing. He was a guy.
Well, I remember in the very beginning of Corona, the very, very even before lockdown started, I remember on the news they tested the tigers in the Bronx Zoo. And they said it has Corona.
Right, yeah, they said now a lot of problems are with animals.
What, they are?
Yeah.
I never heard any problems with animals, yeah? I never
heard
any.
They said now with the new strain that a lot of animals do have their testing in a lot of places.
And they're sick?
Animals,
animals die from Corona?
The animals sleeping with the people in bed, they warned people. It was one of the, on the blogs over here that warned people about sleeping with their animals in bed. It's a problem.
Because the animal has Corona.
The animal, but they're asymptomatic in a way. They don't get the disease the same way.
But they spread it.
They'll pass it on
they're
to you, nevertheless.
It doesn't cross from an animal.
You'll get it to them. No,
well, the whole disease crossed from an animal to a person.
Yeah,
no?
Because they ate it or something. But
no, the laboratory ate it.
Listen. The trains of the animals pass on to human beings. We see that for a
okay.
fact, right?
But in any event, a guy, a person that's not a believer, a person, an irreligious person, this is something you see, you can clearly see in society. A person who's irreligious values animals to be equal, mamish and equal to a human being. They're equal rights. And the care that has to be given to the animals is equal to the care that you give to a human being.
That's what Rabbi Franz says, the problem right away was Cain and Hevel. Because he equated killing an animal, the Hevel brought an animal as a sacrifice.
Oh, very interesting.
And he equated it with killing a human being.
Wow, interesting.
That Rabbi Franz made it on one of his tapes about 30 years ago, whatever, you know.
In our Hashkafa, an animal is secondary to a human being. An animal's only purpose is to serve man.
Right.
It's a servant in one way or another. And when there's a choice between a man and an animal, man comes first, not the animal.
He was in Florida and wanted to rescue the pets from the
army,
and they said, no,
you're not going to go there. Don't endanger yourself. That's a religious state. That's the sign of religion. Because if that would have happened in New York, they would probably say, send a search team for the animals, not for the people. Now, look, there's a very famous story. This story I told this many times. Where there was a Maisa Shahayah, it's a true story, where a bear broke, I don't know, entered into a home and it killed a woman, a mother. And the people, they came, the police came and they shot the bear. At the end of the day, the bear was dead and this woman who was the mother of an infant was dead. So yeah, the bear was dead and the infant was dead. Now it was a single mother. It seems like it was a single mother. She left over a yasar, and they discovered outside where the bear came from. The bear left over a cub. What? A little bear. What's it called in English?
A cub.
A cub left over a cub. So they opened up a GoFundMe account. A GoFundMe account. I don't know if it's GoFundMe. It was a while ago, so they didn't have a GoFundMe account. Two separate GoFundMe accounts. One for the yasar, the child. And one for the cub. Who's going to take care? The cub needs to be sent to a zoo, sent over here. They check the account. A couple of months later, the cub had an enormous amount of money. And the yosef had almost nothing. Okay, so this is a sign of a rejection of religion. The Maral says here, animals, their only purpose is to serve man. And even within mankind, the Iker are Klal Yisrael, not the Umasayim. The proof is, Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. It does not say that about any other human being other than Klal Yisrael, and certainly does not say that about animals. Maral goes from different, L'may Nafkimina. You only can have a Hava for a Bein. You cannot have a Hava for your creation. For a product, even though it comes from you, it's your creation, it does not give you the benefits, the koichos of ahava. It doesn't do so. For sort of, ahava hi bavur, rak bavur ha'avos, halo yesh gam le'esav ba'ava. Now, v'im ahava hi rak bavur ha'avos, halo yesh gam le'esav ba'ava zu, u'ma'adu o'ev rakas Yaakov. So now the question over here is, what about Esav? Is Esav also called a child? Or what am I reading? I'm reading the wrong thing. I'm reading the wrong thing. Go back to the Maral. What did I read over here? Let's go back to the Maral. The Maral over here is on the left side. Again, page 863 on the left side, second line, in the middle of the line. Yisharu umayis heim tefelim bebriya. V'chamayis shabar Hashem yisbarach shachan nevroim other creatures. V'shvil ha'adam. V'loin nevru le'atzman. Animals are not created for their own purpose, for themselves. Ki kach likewise kol umayis heim b'shvil Yisrael. V'yim kein yisrol heim ma'abriya shabar min Hashem yisbarach. U'mi'acha she yisrol heim ma'ase yodav. V'yesh kan tzeiruf gomor. We have a direct connection to Hashem. Shaykh b'zahava. Gam kein yoyser min ohava asher bein ho'oyavim. Than other things that you love, whatever he means exactly with those words, I do not know. This emotion that exists of love that you'll tell me exists between something that you create, your smartphone, your labor, your a song, who korov liyos kmo dover echod umizeh hatzad shayich ahava. But the eight cell, which lead the words, we'll try to explain now. The eight cell, bosa redam ha'ov, oev habein, the ein ahavas habein ela'av kol kach. The ze, ki habein yoitse mimenu, who bosa mibasar, shaykh beze ahava, aval ein ho'av yoitse min habein, ulechein in shaykh ahava kol kach, she yohav habein es ho'av.
Now, love the son more than the son.
So he's saying, you know, he's adding a new dimension to this principle, and that is this is like a secondary dimension. And we're just glossing over this, not going into the. You have to really read the words of the morale.
Because it has to go two ways.
So he's saying it cannot possibly go two ways.
Right. You can love a thing, but the thing can't love you back.
An object cannot love you back, right? You know, well.
So that renders it meaningless in this context, right?
No. You're just saying is love is a product of your creation. Therefore, a child who did not create his father cannot love his father the way
to
his father loves him, to the extent that his father loves him.
Right.
In the beginning of this paragraph, he introduced a principle that love can only exist between shavim, between like things, things which have a general similarity.
Elements.
Human beings can have love. You cannot. A human being cannot love an animal because an animal is not a human being. It's not called shavim. That's one principle. Number two, even amongst the shavim, even amongst the category of shavim, of human beings, if you have one human being that brings forth another human being, like a father and a son, or like Hashem and Klal Yisrael, where we are the product of Hashem, but Hashem is not the product of us, then the love that Hashem has for us is infinitely greater than the love that we have for Hashem. Or, for example, the love that a child has for his father is not anything near the love a father has for a child. Everyone knows the expression, a father can take care of 10 children.
Right.
But 10 children can't take care of one father.
A child loves his parents out of appreciation. Is all they've done.
But that does not compare.
The same way that we are half to Eis Hashem Lokecha in appreciation, recognition.
Because we explained it. That doesn't matter of degree. The morale first explains, in order for there could always be love, provided that they're equals. They're equals. So we love Hashem, because Hashem has declared us to be his bani.
Right.
Once we are Hashem's bani, that opens up, whatever this means, that opens up a possibility for us to love Hashem.
Right.
We are have to ace Hashem elokecha, because we are Hashem's bani. He says the principle, you cannot have the term ahava unless you're dealing with shavim. Equals. How are we equal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's impossible. Hashem was mitzamtzein himself by calling us his children. That opens up the possibility for us to have love. Finished. Now, part two. This is seven morale now. We're going now with seven idea. Even when you do have shavim, it does not automatically mean it's equal. Maybe a husband and a wife, it's equal. Because they both contribute to the marriage equally. A husband provides, a wife provides, so there's an equal give and take. But a parent to a child, there is no way there can be an equal love both ways. Because the child is a product of the parent. And the parent is not a product of the child. So there can be love because they're shavim. But it's not going to be an equal love. Like the expression said, a father can take care of 10 children, but 10 children we see cannot take care of one father. There's always a lapse. Who's bringing supper today? Who's doing this today? Who's doing that today? It was never a question when the father was alone. When the father.
That's the shot in Zorcha Hashem, Shalom Dom and Lo.
Okay,
what
so. So here you're just saying, Ahavti Yitzchak Amar Hashem, this is a powerful statement because you're my children. Vamartem, and then Vamartem, and you say, Bamakhe, then it goes Bamea. Bamea Haftok. He's not really explaining that, but this is at least the Gili in what Ahav is, and a revelation of the depth of what love really means. Okay, Mirat Hashem, tomorrow we will go further. With Pasik Dalit. We'll take a very short break and we're going to learn some halachas, some agada in a few moments.
You said in reference to what you're saying, he says, you know,